As Kenyans know well, tourism can be a huge part of a country's economy. They know that in Nepal, too. Back in the spring, Nepal was hit by a massive earthquake. We all saw photos of temples and houses reduced to rubble. All those images left the impression that all of Nepal had been leveled. And that hit the country's tourism industry hard. A political dispute with neighboring India didn't help. So Nepalese leaders asked a group of journalists to come take a look for themselves. Our friend Alina Simone decided to go.
2 months ago, I was invited on a trip to Nepal, sponsored by the Nepalese government, a tourism industry group, and a British-funded NGO, Samarth. The goal was to show tourists that, despite the earthquake and political protests following the new constitution, Nepal was, quote, open for business. I'd never paid much attention to government travel advisories, but I decided to check what the State Department had to say. In October, it issued a warning for Nepal. Also on the warning list, Iraq and Somalia. We want you to know the risks of traveling to these places and to strongly consider not going to them at all, the State Department site said. Yikes. I began to wonder whether this trip was really such a great idea. And at the airport in Abu Dhabi, I wasn't exactly reassured to learn I'd been bumped from my flight because the plane was taking extra fuel to Kathmandu. Protest at Nepal's border with India had led to a severe shortage. But once I finally got to Kathmandu, life seemed remarkably normal. The earthquake damage was largely cleared away and fenced off. There were, of course, lots of empty spaces where centuries-old temples once stood. And in historic Pathan Durban Square, the sound of reconstruction was everywhere. But I was also surprised to find plenty of temples left standing. Like everyone else, I'd seen the footage of post-earthquake Kathmandu and assumed most of Nepal's heritage sites were gone. And that's exactly the impression tourism officials in Nepal were trying to dial back. As Sunil Sharma of the Nepal Tourism Board told me,
it's not Nepal which has been affected. It is only 14 districts which has been hit hard.
61 other districts suffered minimal or no damage. Samarth also commissioned an independent assessment of two of Nepal's most popular trekking routes, Everest and Annapurna. Trekkers are key to reviving Nepal's tourism industry, but government travel warnings boost the cost of travel insurance, and backpackers need that insurance if they're trekking in remote areas, like our next stop, the town of Jomsom at the foot of the Himalayas. It's far from the epicenter of the earthquake and the political struggles at the Indian border, but still, you won't see many tourists here. Triple Garung is the owner of Om's Home, where he says bookings are down 50%, and he's not the only one depending on tourism here.
Me, I'm running a hotel, but there are people who grow vegetables. You know, they come sell here in the morning, so we buy the vegetables for our guests.
The story was the same in Pokhara. Minimal earthquake damage, major tourism declines. And in Nepal's second largest city, long lines of cars and mopeds were queuing up for rationed gas. It's easy for a tourist to insulate themselves from the day-to-day realities of life here from within a coach bus, but ethical quandaries are just a question away. As I learned from Krishna Pudel at our next stop, the Barahi Jungle Lodge in the Chitwan Valley. When I asked how the hotel was managing during the fuel crisis, he told me,
"We are very close by border of India. And from India, we are getting, you know, illegally, petrol, diesel, and gas. So that way, you know, we are able to manage somehow."
In preparation for my group's arrival, hotel staff made a 10-hour round trip to the Indian border to buy gas on the black market at 4 to 5 times the price. On the one hand, Nepal really needs tourist dollars. On the other hand, the fuel crisis was hitting hospitals, schools, and internet servers. It felt terrible to be using up their scarce resources to, you know, look at some rhinos. I had to ask Krishna, was it really worth it?
Well, I would say, you know, we are not in loss, but...
Long story short...
For the hospitality business, we have to do it.
By the end of my trip, I was left with deeply mixed feelings. As a tourist, there are undeniable pleasures to be had, trekking in Nepal's mountains, parasailing its skies, and touring its temples. But the political crisis and the growing fuel shortage is a real problem for travelers. 2 weeks after we left, all domestic flights in Nepal were grounded, Of course, it's much more than an inconvenience for the people of Nepal. It's a threat to their health and well-being. So one can only hope the crisis is resolved quickly. No matter how much Nepal insists it's open for business, politics are still blocking the gate. For The World, from Kathmandu, this is Alina Simone.